Your comments make the show better. Send us your thoughts live on our Facebook channel to be the star of today's show. Can't catch us live? Hit us up on our other social media channels to have your say. For now, welcome to the Rod Peterson Show.
Good morning, Canada. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Good afternoon to those of you in Eastern Canada and to Canadian sports fans around the world. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show. Despite a wild weekend, I have a sense that people are really bubbly and actually in a good mood. That's what the comment wall looks like, Dupes, as we get rolling. Oh, I should tell you, I'm the host, Rod Peterson, and he's the co-host, Darren DuPont. Hi, Dupes.
Hi.
Just look at this. We got John Ohm from Winnipeg. He says, good morning. Ohm. Sunny plus 30 in Winnipeg. Jacques Dupuis, good morning. Sunny from Ottawa. So people are ready to talk sports. They're ready to roll.
Yep.
The big question is, are you?
Of course. It's a new week.
Yeah, it is. You wouldn't think it. I think I got it as day 82 of the pandemic. I got to check my notes. Something like that. Day 82 without sports, per se. I got a litany of things to get to today. On a very big day in terms of guests today, Jay Triano, another Canadian basketball treasure, former head coach of the Raptors, former interim coach of the Suns, former LA Lakers draftee, the pride of Tillsonburg, Ontario, and currently Charlotte Hornets assistant coach is going to be joining us today. And we thank our friends with the Rattlers and the CEBL for lining that up. I'm very much looking forward to that. I think he's the marquee guest of the day. There are others that don't.
That's a pretty big guest list, but that's a big get to get Jay Triano. I think that's really cool.
I say again, thank you to the Rattlers for lining that up and the president, Lee Genier. Justin Dunk of Three Down Nation is going to be with us with lots of CFL news, but I have my own breaking CFL news today. Just hang on to your bingo cards. It's coming. Point three, Canadian Football Hall of Famer Damon Allen, who watches the show every day and writes in with his own comments on the Facebook wall. I'm like, let's just bring in Damon on video chat and let him get it all off his chest at once. So the great Damon, the GOAT, is going to be with us. And Craig McMorris of the infamous McMorris snowboarding family is going to be with us. And they've got some news just to talk some overall sports with Craig McMorris, whose father, Don, was my high school driver's ed teacher and a proud member of the Milestone Flyers. So I just want to say this as we get to the quick six show topics here for the rollout for Flooring Superstore. It was an emotionally charged weekend, of course. I don't know how yours was, but being so closely affected and affiliated with the CFL for a long time and a lot of Black American friends, my heart went out to what was going on. You don't have a heart if yours didn't, you know, for those that were watching the race riots that I'm not sure that they're over in the States. I will just say this, my stance, I'm not going to speak for all of you, but was in speaking to those guys on the weekend, I said, what do you need? Because they were calling out the CFL for not making a statement, calling out Canadians for not saying anything. And I just said to some of them, what do you need? And they said, just let us know that you're with us. I can do that. Fine. That's what led to the picture that I posted on all of my social media in the middle of a group huddle with the riders from a couple of years ago. But I will say this, as a mental health professional that I am, I follow a lot of great anti-anxiety accounts. And one said, if you're feeling anxious because of the riots, here's a list of things that you should do. One, stay away from the riots.
Good advice.
You know, Paul, common sense isn't that common sometimes. In the cases of crises or trauma, it's not. Stay away. If it doesn't affect you, stay away. Two, self-assess. Make sure you're safe. I certainly was. I think you were.
Yep.
And three, occupy your time. Do something else. So that's what I did in terms of golfing yesterday and attended that wedding Saturday night that you saw on my... It wasn't even anybody that we knew, but it was a drive-in wedding. Should have had video screens there now that I think about it, Paul. I see his wheels turning in his head over there. I smell the smoke. So anyways, our thoughts, our support is certainly with the people that are hurting in America right now, but I'm not going to spend 2 hours on it. The American networks are doing that. We're going to move on and have some fun. And I know that we're going to have some laughs, particularly in this segment, so hang on. Point two of our quick six show topics is the TJ Jones situation. I'll be honest with you, when it comes to personnel stuff, I'm not knee-deep in it. It's not how I make my living. But when Pinball Clemens brought up on this show on Friday that the CFLPA has vetoed the contract of the NFL veteran, who's a Canadian, who signed a $200,000 deal with the Argos. The CFLPA's vetoed it. It was pretty big news. And it didn't seem to gravitate. I guess the race riots and everything else usurped everything else.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
Yeah.
So I'm going to come back on the TJ Jones situation, but that's our poll question today. I can't remember how I worded it. I tweeted it a couple of hours ago. For Capital Automall, Universal Collision Center, should six-year NFL veteran Canadian TJ Jones be subject to the CFL salary cap of $85,000? What's the Facebook saying?
It's close. 52% say no, 48% saying yes, that he should be subject to it.
Okay, so on Twitter, over 70% of people saying no. It is a pretty, frankly, aside from the postponement of training camps, I think this is the number one issue in the CFL right now. I really do believe that. That's why I'm surprised when Pinball said, hey, there's news on it. People didn't really gravitate towards it. So I talked to Sam Giguere this morning. Pretty big name. Spent 5 years in the NFL, 3 years with the Colts, 2 with the Giants, and then came up to the CFL. And I said, Sam, were you subject to this? And he said, no, I was not. But he said more. I'll get to that later, okay? There's a little bit of a tease. Most people saying no. TJ Jones should not. He should be able to sign for the $200,000 or at least more than $85,000. That'll be a topic today. Point three. Don Cherry. Did you see him on Twitter this weekend?
Yeah.
Says his Bruins are getting screwed by the playoff format. Do you agree?
Of course. Of course. They went through, 75, 80%, maybe more, 90% of the season as the number one team in the league. Top to bottom, East Conference, West Conference, every division, they were the best. And now they got to play in a four-team round robin to finish anywhere from first to fourth?
Yeah.
They got jobbed.
Well, this is on my Cat Country commentary that aired 20 minutes ago on Cat Country FM 98. And that is that, hey, the NHL knew that people were going to be upset. Teams were going to be upset with this playoff format. So, hey, Boston, you have the right. And by the way, they're not complaining. Don Cherry is. He's not the voice of the Boston Bruins, but he's the former coach of the Bruins. And I'll say this. It's not ideal really for anybody. If you're as good as you think you are, go win the round robin.
Prove it.
And secondly, you probably would be happy to get on the ice and knock some rust off anyway. You want to go right into a best of seven against somebody that just came out of a best of five?
That's it. That's it. I mean, yeah, they maybe got screwed and they should be the number one seed. But what are they going to do while everybody else is playing the playing game? That round robin is so they play competitive games that also mean something. It means something in terms of who you're going to play coming out of it. You're going to get the lowest seed coming out of it if you finish first. So there is advantages. So those teams, while elimination isn't on the table in the opening little round robin, those games mean something. So the competitive juices will get going. I would rather play and finish anywhere from first to fourth than sit and just watch or play scrimmages.
So again, what are you complaining about? Yeah. That's all. Paul Bernstrom is watching. He says, what do you guys think about the Spring League in the U.S. offering to partner with the CFL? I was willing to listen to it, but Randy Ambrosi shut it down Friday night. So there's no point even talking about it. Don't go anywhere, Paul, because you could use a laugh, too. It's coming up. Point four, can you get to the comment from Trent Bruner? Trent in Norway is watching. He says, Norway calling. This is the way he talks, by the way. Sunny and plus 21 here tonight. TJ Jones should not have to be a rookie for coming home to the CFL. Boston should be thankful there is an NHL playoff. Looking forward to the Jay Triano interview. Stay well, everyone. Trent in Norway. Point four, I'll just briefly say it, was the CFL and some of their teams behind in their statement on the race riots in the States. It was Saturday that I saw Adrian Tracy and James Wilder Jr. calling out the CFL for not making a statement. And as Stephen A. Smith said this morning on ESPN's Get Up, silence is compliance. I had the CFL's back in this one in that I just don't think they knew what to say. And that's not a criticism. This is not, I've not seen this be an issue in the CFL in my time. I've dealt with a lot of players and still do that have issues that we deal with one-on-one. Racism has never been won. So I just think the CFL didn't know what to say. And then by 10:30 yesterday morning, Mountain Time, they did make a statement. The NFL didn't make their statement until Sunday morning either. Do you think they were behind?
You got to be so careful when you make the statement. But You know, I like what they said, what the players have said to you. Just want to know that you're with us.
Yeah.
Because especially being white, it's really tough because you want to say something, but you don't want to look ignorant or you don't want to look that, you know, pretentious or have somebody come back and say, you don't really know or you really can't relate to what's going on right now in the United States or what's it like to be part of the black community. Because I really have no idea, right? But, you know, you want to express that, you know, we sympathize with them, that we're with them, we'll support any way we need to, because we don't believe in the bad things that have happened, for sure. But it's hard to come up with a statement because you don't really know what the right thing is or the wrong thing to say.
But they did, and they did a good job of it, as has now every league and every team, for the most part. 0.5 Major League Baseball season to resume June 30th. Looks like the players are getting their wishes. 114-game season they're talking about?
Well, that's what they proposed, is 114-game season and no more pay cuts, I mean, other than what was agreed to back in March. No more pay cuts, 114 games, but this morning, Major League Baseball is expected to reject it, which doesn't put us any closer to any sort of resolution.
Okay, and 0.6, read on the weekend that the NLL, our beloved National Lacrosse League, is investigating venues for a quarantine city. Maybe one, maybe more than one city, but Albany, New York, saying they were called by the NLL. They used to have a team about potentially being used as a hub city. So, hey, don't forget about the pro lacrosse. They want to finish, too. So those are the quick six show topics that obviously people have a lot of opinions, as evidenced by our Facebook Live comment section. You can also text us on the Prairie Mobile text line, 306-840-8777. Some house cleaning items. The Friday poll winner of the coach with the most heat on him in the CFL this year is Ryan Dinwiddie. Again, I'll stick with Craig Dickinson, but that's just me. You all thought it was Ryan Dinwiddie, and that's cool. The rock star of the day Friday was one Pitmall Clemens. Don't forget to vote today on Jay Triano, Justin Dunk, Damon Allen, or Craig McMorris. I will get to my dream in a moment, but I had this teed up for Clark, and I want to show it to our viewers. Big Bird was vandalized on Thursday. Oh, he says his graphic program crashed. Can't put up the UCC picture right now. Anyways, my Jeep was vandalized. I really didn't care, as I posted it just a couple days before that. Don't let idiots ruin your day. So I wasn't going to let them ruin my day. But I went. But Universal Collision Center called me up and said, Rod, get Big Bird in here. We'd love to work on it. And within a couple of hours, they were done. And you came with me to pick it up.
Yeah.
And they took a picture of all their kids, as they said, their staff in the spa, the vehicle spa, all around Big Bird and on it. Hilarious story, because they got just this vile substance off of the Jeep, and I still don't know what it was. It looked like custard pie, but my God, you should hope you never get hit with custard pie, because you can't get it off. And I said, what did you use, a pressure sprayer? And they said, oh, no, we would never do that to your dash. And I said, look at it. It's a 1975 Jeep. So you're not going to hurt it any more than it already is. They did it by hand.
Wow.
Soap, hot, soapy water, as my mom always praised, the number one thing to clean. And they sent me a picture this morning of their entire staff in around Big Bird. So thank you, guys and girls, and I appreciate it. I got to stop eating pizza before I go to bed.
Uh-oh.
I'm not joking. It's not a dream. It's a nightmare. And I was awoke at 1:45, and I couldn't get back to sleep for another couple of hours. My biggest fear is that I'm going to broadcast a game, and I can't see the ice. I'm in a booth that has an obstructed view, or I can't get into the venue. So last night, get a load of this one, Paul. He might be too young, DuPont, to even know this. I'm driving around Evraz Place. Folks, that's the, 300 acres, Paul? Something like that? Something like the 300-acre grounds where the Brand Center is, the Mosaic Stadium, and the six-rink ice facility. And I'm racing to go broadcast a sim game in the Jubilee building. Do you know where the Jubilee building is? It got knocked down to make room for Mosaic Stadium. That's where Mosaic Stadium stands now. It's one of these old, decrepit, falling apart, abandoned buildings. So I'm driving all over the grounds trying to get to it, but there's these 15-foot-high chain-link fences about every couple hundred yards that I had to get through to get there. You know who was riding in the passenger seat with me? Monty from Saskatoon.
What?
Who's one of our regular viewers and the former equipment manager of the U of S Huskies. He's driving with me. So every gate I would get to, and I know all these guards, I'm like, guys, like the security guards, I know them from my years around the Everest, but I gotta get to the Jubilee, but can you... No, you gotta go back around. You know how they are. So I'm going backwards around the whole grounds, one gate at a time. I called you because you were going to call the game with me. And I'm like, DuPont, I can't get there. I'm on the other side of the grounds. And you're like, oh, no, I'm sitting outside the building. I'm like, well, you could have let me know. Anyways, you got to kind of know Monty. But as I'm driving and my stress level's going up, Monty turns to me and says, you know, my dad played for the Outlaws football team. Do you know that? And I said, the Outlaws, which Outlaws? And he goes, the Ohio Outlaws. My dad played for the Ohio Outlaws. And I said, are you sure, Monty, that it wasn't the Saskatoon Outlaws? And he goes, I remember this plain as day. He goes, it's Ohio, Rod. It's in the United States. I got to stop eating pizza before I go to bed. I woke up. My heart was racing. I wanted to strangle Monty. Yeah. What do you say about that? Can you just imagine his face?
Yes.
It's in Ohio, Rod. It's in the United States. This is in my dream.
Oh, that's outstanding. I can just picture it.
William Works writes in and says, what kind of mushrooms run your pizza, Rod? Jerry's watching in New Brunswick. She says, was it really oregano? Oh, man. Monty! And where is he this morning? Oh, he's watching.
Of course.
I'm waiting for him to write in. Sorry. or get over it. As Clark always says, he always tells us, get over it.
Yeah. That's too funny.
Okay.
I didn't know where it was going because you teased it. I thought Monty was going to be in the building calling the game that you were supposed to call.
Oh, he's riding with me. The only thing that would be better was if we were in Big Bird.
Yeah.
Which we weren't. So, by the way, Clark tells me that they've got the picture here. If you don't mind, this is the staff of the Universal Collision Center. Look at that. How awesome is that? Oh. In and around Big Bird. And a PJ who runs the joint over there said they had so much fun working on your Jeep. So I got to say, everywhere, and as my wife will clarify or confirm, I had that thing in a lot of garages over the first summer that I bought it. Mm-hmm. A lot of repair. I've sunk more repairs into that thing than what I paid for it. But the people that work on it treat it like it's the Pope Mobile. Or it's the vehicle that drives the Queen of England around. They treat it like with just so much love. More than I do.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't even put the top on it. You don't even have the top.
No. If people wonder why I don't want to leave, you treat it so great around here. Oh. And John writes from Winnipeg, I had leftover pizza for breakfast. Should I be scared?
Don't have a nap.
We need to, one more. Maggie says, I still have to find the best Regina pizza, boys. She just moved here from Winnipeg. So we'll talk, Maggie. We got a break and we got to bring on Jay Triano, Charlotte Hornets assistant coach, Canadian basketball royalty. This is the rollout for Flooring Superstore. Thanks for being with us on this Monday morning. It's episode 245 of Canada's Morning Sports Talk Show, and we'll be right back. Facebook Live, Game Plus TV Network, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
It's time to change the way we do business.
Because it's time to focus on staying safe and healthy.
At Capital Ford, we've taken steps to help customers with buying, selling, and servicing vehicles.
It's time to shop online, test drive at home, and let us know when you need servicing.
We'll pick up your vehicle and return it to you when it's fixed at no extra charge.
It's time to serve our community.
It's time to flatten the curve.
Join us online at CapitalFordLincoln.com.
Stay safe.
Be kind to each other.
And wash your hands.
Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions is Saskatchewan's only full-service supply chain company. strategic sourcing, PO creation, and order expediting. VMI and vending solutions and free delivery are just a few of the supply chain services we provide. If your company needs it, Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions can get it for you. Price, quality, service, Rockstar Supply Chain Solution is helping Saskatchewan companies buy better.
IKS Live. IKS Live. Western Canada's premier production services company. LED sign rentals. Video production. Event management. Look no further than IKS Live. Visit our website, IKS Live. Always the best seat in the house. IKS Live.
Cheers to the 16 guys who never back down. And to the smooth, refreshing beer with a real beer taste. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back to the program, everybody. Friday morning get-together, Friday morning coffee session. Thanks for joining us. Don't mind me. I'm just calling up the poll results here for the Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center poll question. Should six-year NFL Canadian veteran TJ Jones be subject to the CFL's rookie Canadian salary cap of $85,000? On Twitter, 78% of you saying no, he should not be. But the Facebook vote is close to 50-50. His agent telling me on the weekend, we will never see TJ Jones in the CFL if this does not change. So that's one of the topics we'll be following throughout the morning. Dan Millett's watching. He writes in and says, thanks for the laughs this morning, guys. That's the whole idea, Dan, trying to bring a smile to your face in these times. Well, I'm very excited to bring him in. Let's do it now. Jay Triano, assistant coach of the Charlotte Hornets, former coach of the Raptors, interim coach of the Suns, a Canadian basketball legend, joins us on video today. Jay, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing very well, very well.
That's good. So the guys were telling me that you are in Charlotte, and talking with my football friends on the weekend, it was not the best of week. You've had better weekends in Charlotte. How are things there on this Monday morning afternoon for you?
Well, I appreciate you letting me know that it's Monday, because it seems like every day has been exactly the same around here. You know, ever since the NBA season was put on hold, we've been here and waiting for something to happen, and I think it's going to happen probably in this week. We'll find out what's going to happen, whether we're involved or whether we're not going to be involved, but it looks like the NBA is starting to move forward with resuming the play of games. It rained this past week, but other than that, Charlotte's not a bad place to be. The weather's been pretty good, and been just kind of sitting back, staying safe, and seeing what's next for us in the sports world.
Oh, good to hear. Well, I had this, I mentioned earlier, as 81 or day 82 since the NBA players were yanked off the floor in Oklahoma City. How have you kept them busy? How have you kept in contact with them? What's that been like for you in your role?
It's been interesting. We've started off pretty quick because we didn't know how long it was going to last. So we were doing Zoom calls with guys. We were making sure, you know, that we were stayed in touch. We were showing videotape of games, but you can only do that for so long. And then we started getting together more just as coaches, and we would have Zoom calls and talk technique. We've probably looked at the draft a little bit more than most assistant coaches would. We've taken a look at free agency. We've done an evaluation of our players and some of the things that we did this past year. So it's been tough. I've joined a couple of chat groups on Zoom with other coaches from other professions, Australian football, European rugby, and stuff like that, and just talking and trying to stay sharp and learn more. And Just like we ask players, you can't sit at home and do nothing. Work on ball handling, work on shooting on your own. It's the same thing as coaches. Try to get better and see what we can do to improve. Lots of clinics and lots of chats with other coaches.
Well, that's the interesting thing, is it's new for everybody. I've kind of been looking at it as one exceptionally long rain delay or one really long off season. But you guys are in season, and maybe I should ask you about that. How has the season gone on the court for the Hornets?
It's been pretty good for us. I mean, I think expectations were pretty low. I mean, with losing Kemba Walker and having a lot of money to spend and looking towards free agency, we're in a pretty good spot because our young players developed real well. You know, Devontae Graham had a big season so far, and I hope that's not the end of it. But our young players have been very good. We've got a lot of salary cap tied up into guys that we got rid of at the deadline in Marvin Williams and Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, and we've got more in Bismack Biyombo and Nick Batum. And for the most part, you know, Biz is the only guy of those four that was in rotation for us. So in a couple of years, we're going to have a ton of money to spend, and we're going to be able to hopefully bank on the development that we've had with the young players. So that's probably the reason I'd like to keep playing, is I just don't think we can take 9 months off, because I don't see the NBA season starting till next December. And, you know, to stop in March, that's a long time for these guys not to play games.
Is it ever? And by the way, here's my favorite part of our interviews. The viewers get to chime in, Jay, as we're on Facebook Live. So Alan Lee, who is our intern, by the way, Alan the intern, the Asian sensation, writes in and says, Mr. Triano, of the Hornets right now, who is the most underrated on your team?
I think there's two guys. I think the twins, Cody and Caleb Martin, they're four-year players out of Fresno. And they just play the right way. They're playing the new NBA style. They're both 6'7". And I think, Cody was with us all year, but Caleb was in the G League. And I think it just gives props to the G League, because he got to play a lot. So when we pulled him up after the trade deadline, and I thought those two guys really helped with what we're trying to do with length being 6'7", and athleticism, running the floor and defending. So I think those guys are probably underrated. They were a second round pick and not drafted. So we're pretty excited about the future with those two.
Jay, I just want to dig into your background for a second. As I mentioned earlier, Canadian, Tilsonburg, Ontario. What's the population in Tilsonburg, by the way? I can't say I've ever heard of it. What can you tell me about Tilsonburg, Ontario?
Tilsonburg, Ontario is it's interesting. I was born there because my dad went there to play basketball. There was a man named Jerry Livingston who funded a senior men's team. And that senior men's team actually won the Canadian championships and went to the Pan American Games. So all these great basketball players moved to Tilsonburg, Ontario. It's a small tobacco town just outside of Waterloo area. And a lot of people, David Coulthard, a great Canadian player, was from there. But it was a real big basketball area. So I was born there. And then my dad got a teaching job in Niagara Falls, so I moved out of there. But interesting place for sure.
Yeah, sounds like it. Well, that's why I wanted to just point out to our viewers again that Jay is a Canadian. So Nathan from North Battleford writes in, says, question for Jay. You've had the opportunity to play for and work with some great coaches. With coaching being such a learning journey, what is the most important thing you've learned along the way, and who did you learn it from?
I think the biggest thing for me has been a relationship with players, and how to connect with a player to help them become better at their craft. And whether that's motivation, whether that's support, I think it's the biggest thing. I worked with Coach Mike Krzyzewski in 2010 as an assistant on the U.S. team that went to the World Championships and won a gold medal. And I was there getting ready to write notes with everything that he said as far as his offensive and defensive schemes. And I got to say, that part of it was not as exciting for me, because it was stuff that I had already seen. I already knew it. He didn't really teach me something new technically or tactically. But the way that he could get the group together, motivate, and have them all on the same page, and he was one of the best, if not the best at that. He was a great motivator, and that's the one thing. You know, you say it all the time. It's not about the X's and O's. It's about the guys that play the game and how you can relate to them. And I think that Coach K was probably the guy that helped me the most understand that.
Oh, no, no kid. I learned it too when I got into coaching. You're really only as good as your players. They can make you look real good or real bad. So you better connect with them, like you say. Now, Jay, with you being a Canadian and the question had come in from North Battleford, and we're a Western Canadian-based show, have you spent much time out here with the national team or camps or clinics or that kind of thing?
Not really. I've been there to speak at the Great High School Tournament banquet.
LIT, right. You were here. Right, that's right.
LIT, man. Yes, what a great event that was. I'm there for that. But I've spent most of my time either at Simon Fraser, and to be honest, I haven't been back to Canada too much since I've been working in the NBA the last, 6 years, 7 years in Portland and then Phoenix and Charlotte. And it's one thing about the NBA, it's become a very full-time thing, and we don't really get across the country, but I'm super excited. I was back home visiting family last summer, and I went to one of the CEBL games, and I was so excited to see that and the fact that we have professional basketball. All the years that I played on the national team, we kept saying we got to have professional basketball in our country because all of us were trying to find jobs overseas and then seeing if we could come back and represent Canada. And I just think that we've got it in our backyard now. We got to make this thing work. And congratulations to the Rattlers who were the champions this past year.
Well, no kidding. You know what? I was going to ask you about the CEBL at the end, but I'll ask you about it now. My wife and two daughters played basketball. I didn't. So we went to the Rattlers games, and I said to them, what do you think of the basketball? And they gave a, it's great. Like it was thumbs up from them, Jay. And so obviously you're pretty closely connected to it. You'd have a lot of friends in the league. What are your thoughts on it? Because they say they're going to play this year, even if it is only a year-end tournament.
Yeah, I think it's sorely needed in our country. I think when you look at the population and what we've done, I mean, we have a CFL, which has been a mainstay in Canada forever. I think we have more people playing basketball than we do football. So let's give them an avenue. Let's give fans an opportunity to see our Canadian kids not just end at the age of 22 or 23 when they graduate from university. Let's give them an avenue to showcase what they can do beyond that. And I just think that this next year, despite what we're going through right now, is going to be even better than it was a year ago. I think more Canadians are getting excited about it. More people will know about it. And Mike Morielli has done a great job, and Lee's done a great job with your franchise. And I'm excited for it.
By the way, the Rattlers are all watching, and Raul Garcia from the front office writes in. He says, we got to get Jay out courtside to a Rattlers game. It's a wonderful experience. It works perfect for you, summer league. So we got to get on that. Yeah, and producer Clark, by the way, mentions your stint with the Raptors. When you were watching the run last year, Jay, what did you think? You must have felt some part of that, I would hope. And what did you think of the way the whole nation came alive with that run?
It was great. I mean, it's what we had all dreamed about when I was there with young players like a young DeMar DeRozan and Amir Johnson and Jose Calderon. Our dream was to have what happened last year, to fight and compete and win an NBA championship. So it was exciting to watch, and it was great for basketball in our country to have so many Canadians to get excited about the sport. And I think it was just a great thing for Canada. And I think, the Raptors surprised a lot of people by how they played and the surprise of the NBA. And for the first time ever, the trophy went outside of the United States.
Alan, the intern, I'm going to give you one more, Alan, just because you're so excited here with Mr. Triano on the air. He says, who are your top five Canadian players of all time?
Well, the guys that I coached the most are probably, the guys that I put at the top of the list. Obviously, in the 2000 Olympics, Steve Nash was just such a great role model, leader, and player, and it carried us to a 5-2 record at the 2000 Olympics. But beyond that, getting to know guys like Corey Joseph and Tristan Thompson and Kelly Olynyk and Dwight Powell and now Jamal Murray, all these guys, we just got such a great group of Canadians. And the thing that I like the best is that they're all great people as well as great basketball players and represent us so well in the NBA. And, I'm fortunate in Charlotte when teams come through here, I get to connect with them either the night before or at the game. And it's a great Canadian fraternity to give basketball, and it keeps getting bigger. And it's kudos to all the young coaches that keep helping our young players, and our young players keep getting better. And Canada is exploding right now. We have the second most players in the NBA outside of the United States. So it's something that's going to keep growing.
Wow, that's amazing. And I should say this. Last week, it warmed my heart to hear that Joel Anthony has joined the front office of the Hamilton Honey Badgers of the CEBL. And I got to say this, Jay. How is this guy not got the Order of Canada and Canadian Sports Hall of Fame as a two-time NBA champion? He never gets mentioned along with Steve Nash. This guy's an absolute treasure.
Yeah, and I think that's the great thing about the CEBL. We've got we got guys that Jermaine Anderson is with Hamilton now, and he played for a long time. Dave Smart is working with the Ottawa team. So our best, and you mentioned Joel, our best are in the game and continuing to be in the game. Greg did such a great job last year, and he's been a great ambassador for basketball everywhere across Canada. And Chad taking over is going to be great. In Saskatchewan, so I'm so excited because our best ambassadors of the sport are involved in this league, and this league is going to help create great basketball players in the future, and it's going to be a great league. And I just keep pushing all support towards that league because I've been fortunate to be in the NBA, but our country can support. If we can support football, we can certainly support basketball.
No doubt, and to have those NBA guys giving back. That was Joel's comment. He wanted to give back to the game in Canadian basketball, and just having him in the league, what a major shot in the arm, boost of credibility. And they did have a tremendous year one. Jay, I appreciate the time. We'll let you go, but please don't be a stranger. Big fans here, been watching you a long time, and good luck getting back on the hardwood.
I appreciate that, guys. Thanks very much, and I'm a game to come on anytime you want.
Oh, awesome. Thank you. Jay Triano with the Charlotte Hornets joining us from his home in Charlotte today, and I do want to say good morning from Wendell Clark's. Doyle with a shout-out, the manager up there, Wendell Clark's Classic Bar and Grill. Good morning, Doyle. Hope you enjoyed the interview with Jay Triano. Just a first-class guy. Kind of just his first time I've ever talked with him. Shows why he's had such longevity and success,
yeah,
doesn't it?
Big time. I mean, he appears to be part of the good people club, right? That we talk about, and good people always find ways to have success.
The GGN, the Good Guy Network.
The Good Guy Network, yeah.
Speaking of the Good Guy Network, Mr. Anderson is watching, the vice principal at Hanley School.
Ah, yeah.
And he says, I just listened. He writes it on the Prairie Mobile text line. He says, just listened to the podcast Friday, and I have to say that if both of you had worn the Sabres hoodie, it would have been a great day. Love what you guys do. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend. He's the vice principal and head football coach of the Hanley Sabres. Had me up there to speak to the entire school. Man, it seems like 10 years ago. It was just in the fall.
Wow.
And he just gave me like an avalanche of gear. And Darren wore his bunny hug on Friday, and I didn't wear mine. We thought, oh, it would be a who wore it better situation.
Exactly. It's one of the nicest ones that I have.
Mine too.
Those thin. Oh, I love it. And I always worry that I'm putting it into rotation too often now lately. I'm just like,
well, it's perfect for summer.
Will people think that I haven't washed it? You know? And I do, but yeah,
they'll know.
Perfect for summer.
Paul Figler is watching from Red Deer. He says, awesome interview with Mr. Triano. Something I never thought about this show is that I was going to learn things. Well, that's a byproduct of this show. I think we only wanted it to be entertaining, correct?
That's the goal.
That's the goal, to be entertaining.
The goal is not to be an
education. We're not National Geographic Television here.
Yeah. If you learn something along the way, that's a bonus.
It's a bonus if you learn something, but I'm glad that we're on the same page here. Andrew Stout writes in on the Facebook wall. He says, that is the sign of a true leader. It goes without saying, a true leader will make sports and business be a true success. Yeah, he just nailed it well there. We should break. Coming up from 3downnation.com, Justin Dunk. I'm interested in his weekly hit here on the program. And I want his take on the TJ Jones situation. Maybe before we do go to the break. Because I just teased this in the Quick Six show topics. TJ Jones, the six-year NFL veteran who's a Canadian, wants to come back to the CFL, signed a deal for $200,000 with the Argos, but the rookie cap is $85,000. And it's the Players Association that vetoed the contract. I had a little back and forth this morning with a blogger, an Argos blogger, who said Pinball said the Argos vetoed it. No, no. Pinball on Friday said the CFLPA. And that's, I go back and forth on unions. I don't know if you know or not that I'm in one. ACTRA,
yeah,
the Association of Canadian Television and Radio Announcers. It's made me a lot of money over my career, so I'm not anti-union. But in this case, here's an example, I think, of the union hurting the league. Because you want the best players, right? Now, you tell me, because I couldn't decide whether to vote yes or no on the poll, if TJ Jones should be subject to the cap or not. I need to be convinced either way. I'd like to think I'm somewhat open-minded. TJ Jones made $3.9 million in his NFL career, okay? Which may or may not be over. I mean, his agent, you know, they're trying to find an NFL deal. So when I talked to Sam Giguere this morning, he's not the last Canadian to come back from the NFL to the CFL, but he's certainly probably one of the most, well, he is one of the most high-profile ones. He said that he was not subject to the cap. However, he didn't sign for $200,000 either. So what he's saying is, and actually he went on to say to me this morning, I'm all for guys making money. Who isn't? All for guys getting paid. But maybe if he was willing to come back for $150,000, $125,000.
But it's not about him coming back for the price. It's, there's a team willing to sign him to that price.
Right.
So, the market value has been set at $200,000. So it's not about him being greedy. It's about the team's willing to do the deal. It's should he be considered a rookie or not? I mean, you know, the comments that have come in, he's probably not eligible for Rookie of the Year. So why is he eligible? Why is he restricted by the rookie contract? I see that side of the argument, too. It is tough, for sure.
Cut in, but from our viewers, from Donna, she says, I was the same, Rod, and then you add all the information, made me think and changed my mind. I'm not trying to influence anybody's position here. I haven't made a position myself. I'm trying to give you all the information. You make your own opinion. Kelly Bale writes in, says the CFL is an opportunity for TJ Jones, not vice versa. $85,000 isn't enough? Okay, don't play. I don't necessarily go along with that. This is a tremendous player that the CFL should want. But I look at it this way. TJ, here's the cap. If you don't want to play for it, you're going to move on with your life. It's a little like me with radio. I've had many opportunities to go work in mainstream media in the last year. They don't want to pay me what I think I'm worth. So I'll sit here and have fun and make a nice living. I don't need to go back and work for that. I don't want to. Yeah. Is it really any different than TJ Jones?
No, not really.
If you want to play, this is the price.
Yeah.
$85,000. So I'm kind of saying he should be subject to the cap. Yet others are saying he's not eligible for the Rookie of the Year because he had the NFL experience.
Yeah, and he's not a rookie. I mean, he's played
right,
long enough.
Right, he's not a rookie.
And so it's almost hurting players from, you know, they got to make that decision when they're so young. Do I even go try the NFL? Because I'm going to do that and have to come back and play for $85,000, or do I get this rookie contract out of the way now so that I can start making some decent money in the CFL? I don't like making them have to make that decision.
I apologize for making Justin Dunk wait. Hang on, Dunkster. We'll be right back after this break. His take on this and everything else in the CFL. You're not going to want to miss it. We'll be right back. It's the Rod Peterson Show Monday morning, Facebook Live, Game Plus TV Network, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
At Suds, we make your car shine. It starts with our state-of-the-art wash system. Our NeoGlide wash material is safe and gentle on vehicles and buffs your finish to a brilliant shine. Plus, we hand-dry and inspect every vehicle for a top-quality result. I'm Kirby.
And I'm Natalie. Whether you're getting an exterior wash that takes 10 minutes or treating yourself to an interior cleaning, the result's going to be the same. Your vehicle's going to look great.
Suds full-service car wash.
We'll make your car shine.
At Prairie Mobile, you can get the phone you want when you want. All smartphones are $0 every day. With convenient locations across Saskatchewan, Prairie Mobile, your Sastel authorized dealer, has you covered. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse is a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
Oh, yeah. He's back. Sorry. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. You see the spot there for Deer Valley Golf Club. I think we all golfed there separately yesterday.
Yeah.
You went in the morning. I went. Clark went. So thank you, Deer Valley. We had a blast. I don't care about the wind. Everybody talked about the wind. It's better than rain. Way better than
warm.
Rain. Let's go out on video chat now as we continue to talk about the TJ Jones situation. We got Justin Dunk with us from 3downnation.com. JD, how are you, my friend?
Doing well, guys. What about you?
We're doing good. I'm glad to open up a new week talking football, despite day 16 of the training camp postponement. And we're kind of sinking our teeth into the TJ Jones situation. I'm sure you are, too. What do you think about the latest developments?
Well, guys, I go back to actually a piece that I had a while back that included Julian Edelman, and TJ Jones was in a group of free agents that the competition committee in the CFL had deemed just that, free agents. They were Canadians that, for whatever reason, were missed in the draft process. So at that time, if they were deemed free agents, I'm with what most people are saying, that if Jones is coming to the league, he should be able to go to the highest bidder. If the Toronto Argonauts want to pay him $200,000, all the power to it. Let's get this kid in the CFL, and it fits under the rules.
Is it important to play out or to point out that the Players Association is the ones that vetoed the contract with the Argos?
I do think it is key because you get a sense of where the new CBA has gone instead of the old CBA, because that's when that decision was made with that group of nationals. As I said, that could potentially include Julian Edelman. But for these purposes, let's focus on TJ Jones, that he was going to sign that contract with the Argos in February and be ready to come up to the CFL for $200,000. And you talk about a guy that's almost made $4 million in the NFL. He doesn't just have to come up here and play for peanuts. He could move on and do something else in his life if he doesn't get another NFL opportunity, which is definitely possible. So I think it's worth pointing out that the PA has shifted their change here, and the key being that rookie pay scale that has been implemented. I believe that's what the PA is looking at and saying, well, he fits under this new rule. We don't really want to treat him differently than the other players, although I really feel like he should be. He was deemed a free agent. He didn't go through the draft process, and he would not qualify as a rookie in the CFL. Three strikes, that means he should be a free agent.
Right, and so I was going to ask you where you stand on this. If you were voting in the poll, you think he should be exempt from the rookie Canadian cap. Have I read that right?
Definitely. You got it.
Yeah, well, I talked to his representation over the weekend, and they said he will never play in the CFL as long as this remains the case. Now, having said that, I mean, I guess it would have to be the Argos that would apply. You could make a special exemption case. You got special exceptional status for the hockey fans out here. Connor Bedard has it in the WHL. Connor McDavid had it in the OHL. Like, have we heard the last of this, do you think, now it's put to bed? Because that's the sense that I got from his representation, that it's going to be NFL or nothing. Or would the Argos make a fuss about it and, I guess, appeal this decision?
I think one of the things you can look at in terms of precedent, maybe going the other way, is Chris Williams, back when he wanted to get out of his contract and go to the NFL, that if TJ Jones filed a grievance here, and he has the case, because, as I said, it was ruled by the CFL competition committee at the time that he should be a free agent. I mean, you're sort of going against the union there in a sense. But I really believe that that's another option that they could take. Jones does have the ability to wait out an NFL shot. So I don't think it's the last we've heard of it, because the CFL should want to get him in the league, and Jones, you know, clearly wants to play in the CFL just for what he feels he's worth.
That's the thing. I mean, the union's there to protect the players. In this instance, it's doing not what's best for the CFL or one in particular player. But anyways, we'll move on from that. What else are you working on at 3Down these days?
So, guys, I've been getting a lot of questions about Derek Moncrief. And obviously, you guys know well, everyone in Ryderville is interested in his potential next move. Well, we know that he got released from the Las Vegas Raiders, but he had a number of workouts leading up to that signing initially in December, and I believe even a couple in January. So the latest I've heard on Moncrief is that he's patiently waiting, and it looks likely that he'll actually have some more NFL workouts coming up and could potentially sign a contract before training camp. So he's going to take the patient approach in terms of getting a legitimate NFL shot, which a lot of people know he deserves. And, you know, Chris Jones is in the NFL in Cleveland. I wonder if he's pushing for him there to potentially become a Brown, because he knows the versatility that he can bring, and really his credentials prove that he deserves an NFL shot.
I'm actually glad to hear you say that, because I was wondering where he might land in the CFL. But just given the season that he had, he's been great ever since he came into the CFL. But this last year, Justin, he was lights out. I mean, he was at another level.
Yeah, he certainly was at that same linebacker position. And you look at what they're doing in the NFL in terms of coverage, and a guy that's versatile enough as a linebacker to be able to drop back, get after the passer, stuff the run. He's a guy that can do that for you. So I think that that is going to elicit some NFL interest, and that's why we haven't seen him make a move necessarily back north of the border, let's say like Deion Lacy, because he's saying, hey, you know, I've fielded some calls, got some interest about some potential workouts. Obviously, COVID-19 is preventing that a little bit right now. So when it's cleared and those can potentially happen, I would expect at minimum him to get a peek in terms of an up-close look from personnel men, and we'll see if he signs a contract. I do think it's possible.
Look up for a second, Darren. I got to read some comments here. I'll pause this for a second, JD. From our viewers, from Maggie. Oh, why? Hello. The guests on the show just get more and more good looking. So there's that. I just wanted to see Justin.
Don't take it.
You didn't actually turn red there. I thought you would. I wanted to see his wreck. Secondly, is somebody mowing their lawn outside your window, or is there a plane circling? What's going on outside the residence there?
Yeah, my bad. Actually, just down in the condo building here, they're blowing the leaves and cutting the grass and stuff. So it smells like summer in T.O.
I'm good.
The authorities making sure he doesn't.
I don't have a problem with it. Is there a chopper circling? A 3Down chopper waiting to pick you up to take you wherever you go. And everybody is happy to see the chandelier back, by the way, in the background. So you can tell that Justin is back in his regular environs. Moving on, Justin. I've often said this many times. I hate when sports intersects with news, whether it was the Humboldt Broncos crash, this now the pandemic, race riots in the United States. I got to think you feel the same way. I mean, you'd obviously rather be talking about football right now, but you were digging pretty deep, and you seem to have a personal connection too to what was going on the States on the weekend. Can you talk about that from a 3Down perspective?
That's right. It really does seem like at these times, even though some people want to say stick to sports, Roddy, I really take it personally in the sense of we have a platform that we can create change. And as much as, yes, we want to talk about sports and focus on it, that if we can provide some little bit of betterment in society in the way that we're treating people, I think that duty is on us. And I was fortunate enough to be able to share Solomon Alamimian's personal story first. He wanted to put it out there on 3Down Nation so the masses can see it and try to affect change in a positive way. He's encouraging all of the union membership to use their social media platforms and speak out to have change. And one of the quotes that's really hit home for me is that people seem to be tired of reading about racism. Well, imagine actually having to deal with it in your daily lives. And even people that I work with, you know, at CHCH, we've been having some conversations about it and going back and forth. And then going back to my playing days, I didn't see color. And I think you guys are the same way. We had guys in our huddle that were from all different kinds of races. One of my best receivers and best friends still at the time was Dave McCoy, a former Riders draft pick, and he's black, but that never mattered to me. But it doesn't mean that it's not an issue that needs to be addressed. And the other quote that stuck out to me as well was, if it's tough to talk about racism, then, you know, potentially it's an issue for you. I don't think it should be a difficult conversation. It should be open and honest and inclusive. All together, we're strong.
David McCoy, member of the 2007 Grey Cup champion Saskatchewan Rough Riders. There's an answer to a trivia question right there. And I'm with you on the race thing. I have no problem talking about it. 20 years in the CFL working daily with these guys. They've told me their stories. I get it. And that's why I said on the weekend, what can I do for you guys? And they said, just show that you're with us. I'm like, that's not that hard and for me to do or for anybody to do, which brings me to the CFL statement. I think they were right along the timeline. You may know better than me that when the NFL made their statement, I mean, it didn't look good Saturday when there were players calling out the CFL for that. Stephen A. Smith said this morning on ESPN's Get Up, silence is compliance. So that's how they feel. I was glad the CFL did step up. What was your thoughts on how that all played out?
Yeah, the timing to me, I really want to see the CFL try to be more of a leader here. And Randy Ambrosi talks about it a lot. The NFL came out on Saturday night with a statement, I believe it was right at 6 o'clock, from Roger Goodell, which a lot of people laughed at because you consider what's happened with Colin Kaepernick. And on that note, guys, you know, Colin Kaepernick has been on multiple CFL negotiation lists. He would be welcome in this league. So we got to give the CFL at least credit for that. Then Solomon Elamimian comes out with his personal story and encouragement on Sunday morning. And then Sunday afternoon, we have this statement from the CFL and the commissioner, Randy Ambrosi. It should be worth noting, though, that there's been nothing on the CFL.ca website in terms of a more fulsome statement from Ambrosi or from the CFL. So I would imagine something's going on behind the scenes to give them a little bit of a benefit of the doubt. But when these types of things happen, I think we should be reacting quicker and not just looking to the NFL and comparing us to them. Let's be the leaders that Ambrosi wants the CFL to be.
Jason in Red Deer's watching. He says, okay, dumb question. Did Justin play in the CFL? Hey, 5-year starter at Guelph. And I got a friend that graduated Wilfrid Laurier. He hates you, Justin. He said that you used to come in and just dice them. Dice them. Were you their kryptonite?
Well, I don't know about that. I'll let your friends speak for me there. But yes, you're right. I did play 5 years at the University of Guelph, had a solid career because I was surrounded by guys like Dave McCoy and Jeff Keegan, who was another receiver that got a shot with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. And then at the end of it, I remember I was at a bit of a crossroads in my career. After the first year, I had started a number of games, and our trainer, Chris Mumford, who actually played in the CFL himself and now is out in California training guys like Brandon Cooks, who loved his training so much that at the time he brought the entire Saints receiving corps. So Mumps, our former trainer, said, look, I'm going to tell you flat out right now, you have a better shot to make the CFL as a defensive back or a receiver. So you can switch to that position or you can stay a quarterback because I know we need one for the program and try to grow from there. Me being the hometown boy and wanting to play quarterback, that's what I did. So, you know, fast forward to 5 years later, I remember being at the combine. My one and only meeting with the team actually was the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Brandon Tamman was in there and Craig Smith was there too. And I really kind of thought that I was going to get a shot as a receiver, but I mean, all things work out. I still get to stick close to the league now and be close to football. But man, I'll let your buddy speak for those Waterloo days.
Well, by the way, it's not personal. But he went to all those games, and he just said that they couldn't stop you. That's all. It was Noogsy, by the way. Nugabar, yeah. Who writes for me on the SJHL column. Anyways, serious talk for a second. Return to play, Justin. Where are we at?
So the latest that I've heard, guys, is actually a bit of a positive, dare I say. So the league has looked at, you know, multiple scenarios, and it seems I don't want to say all but certain, let's say likely, that if the players in the league, and I think that's the key issue here that has to be crossed off first, if they can come to agreement on a COVID CBA, let's say, then I really do think we could see CFL football being played potentially in September, and it would probably be under the hub city model. It seems the likelihood the East would be in Winnipeg, the West would be in Regina, and you would go ahead from there. But the league hasn't got to those further planning stages with whatever direction they're going to end up going here, because they want to have assurances that there's already agreement with the players so they can calculate the finances, right? Obviously, you're going to have to pay the players if games are played. So that's the big sticking point that I'm hearing right now is, can those sides come to an agreement so that the league can then say, go ahead and plan where they're going to stay, how they're going to ensure the safety and health of the players and staff that are going to be in these hub cities.
Great update, my friend. I appreciate it. We'll continue to follow Three Down for all the latest developments. I appreciate the support of us. You get it back, of course, and stay safe out there.
You bet, guys. You too. Love the Rod Peterson Show, Roddy. And I noticed it was the one-year anniversary over the weekend, so happy anniversary. And keep going strong, my brother.
Thank you, man. Glad to have you on the team.
You bet.
Justin Dunk joining us from Southern Ontario. I think so the news conference was on the weekend, the one-year anniversary of the introductory news conference. June 3rd is the one-year anniversary of our first show, right?
Yeah, Wednesday. Yeah.
My wife said, you got something big planned? I said, I have no idea. That's all on Darren. So
what are we going to do? We can't have anybody in here.
Can't have anybody in here. So it's just another day. That's how I am on most things. By the way, to Justin talking about the return to play, this is what something dawned on me over the weekend, just following the news. And it wasn't just watching the news networks, it was surfing Twitter and so forth. It was another revelation that I need to stay away from the news. No offense to the news, but one report I saw, which was from the CBC, no Rudy Poo outlet, that said there may not be fans back until 2023.
Oh.
In stadiums. And they said there's nothing saying that a vaccine will be found in 12 months or 18 months or 24 months. 2023. And then I go to another agency, a news agency, and I want to say it was CNN. And here's a disease expert, obviously I can't remember his name because I've heard a million of their names, saying that, we overestimated the danger of this. We thought there would be millions of deaths by now in America. There's been just over 100,000. So what is it? Is it a major threat? Is it not a major threat? Is it just an overestimated flu? I don't know.
I know. It's tough.
I don't know who to believe.
You got to stay away from the news outlets, I guess. I mean, but you and I are the same way. I mean, we just refuse to be anything but optimistic. And let the health professionals do what they do. We're going to be optimistic that, you know, things are going to start to open up and that we're going to be safe and that there's not going to be a second wave. And, you know, if there is, we'll adapt and adjust to it when that happens, if it does.
Maggie says she's got to go. She says pizza and Zoom calls, y'all. Got to make the best of it. Had to correct. She said that she's not moving to Regina from Winnipeg. She's come from Saskatoon. Mm. And she's still in search of the best pizza. Pizza continues to be a theme of the pandemic. Have you noticed?
Big time.
Next hour, the fun continues. Damon Allen, the goat. This show is like a pasture of goats. And Craig McMorris of the famed McMorris snowboarding family. Hang on. It's episode 245 of Canada's Morning Sports Talk Show. We'll be right back on Facebook Live, Game Plus TV Network, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
It's time to change the way we do business.
Because it's time to focus on staying safe and staying healthy.
At Capital GMC, we've taken steps to help customers who are buying, selling, and servicing vehicles.
It's time to shop online, test drive from home, or let us know if you need service work.
We'll pick up your vehicle and return it to you when it's fixed at no extra charge.
It's time to serve our community.
It's time to flatten the curve.
Join us online at capitalgmc.ca.
Stay safe.
Be kind to each other.
And wash your hands.
You need to adapt and you need to move forward. You can't be stuck in 1920. Direct West is on the top of their game. They know what they're doing, how they're doing it. And when you work with Direct West, things are good. There's no going backwards. They're moving forward. My business would not be where it is today without the help of Direct West. to help me with my website and my Facebook and all my online presence. I've worked with Direct West for about 10 years, and it's been a great experience.
Celebrate the 5th anniversary with friends, family, everyone you know. Plan your next group experience with your Saskatchewan Rush. Group benefits include block seating, ticket discounts, and a dedicated fan experience coordinator. For more, visit saskrush.com/groupnightout.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
Some of the challenges we face with the CT technology that we have today is some of the deficiencies in around integration with some of our other systems. The addition of two new 4D simulators within the programming of the Saskatchewan Cancer Agency is going to have significant impact on you know, the care we provide to the people of Saskatchewan.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.